I didn't even realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a back seat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
With Car Guru's Discover, you can skip the filters and describe what you're looking for in your own words. Simply type what you want, and Car Guru's Discover instantly surfaces real listings that match your exact needs. It's no wonder Car Guru's is the number one most visited car shopping site, according to SimilarWeb's estimated traffic data. Buy or sell your next car today with Car Guru's at cargurus.com. Go to cargurus.com to make sure your big deal is the best deal. That's cargurus.com. Cargurus.com.
Is it a crisis? Hi, I'm Jarvis Smith, and my new show, Lean Into Clean, will inspire, impress, and inform. What can we all do to clean up our lives so the next generations and, of course, our beautiful planet can thrive? Perhaps we've all lost our way. Lean Into Clean will showcase how we might remember, refocus and restore the natural way so we can again live in balance and harmony with life on Earth and all its inhabitants. We're gonna save the world tonight. Welcome to this week's Lean Into Clean. We've got a fantastic show for you this week. We're going to be speaking to a dear friend, an organic hairdressing pioneer, Tabitha James Kwan. It's going to be super interesting. But before we do that, as you know, we always have a news piece. And incidentally, Tabitha actually did help us with this news piece, which is why it's so poignant. We put this piece of news out on September the 14th in the My Green Pod magazine. You can also get the article at mygreenpod.com. Now, the title of this was "Your Shampoo is Still Full of Plastic. Here's what you can do about it." So that was our capturing title. But hold on a minute. Shampoo full of plastic, microbeads, there's none of those anymore. So what's this about? So I'm just going to read a bit of this because I think it would be useful for you to just get some context. So hair care might not be the most talked about culprit in sustainability conversations, but the energy, water and chemicals we use to maintain our hair create a potentially huge environmental footprint. Now, this is huge, and this is why. Synthetic polymers in hair care. So the irony is that all the money and resources we're spending might actually be a cause of poorer hair and environmental health in the long run. So we're all by now aware of the devastation caused by plastic pollution, you know, the bottles, you know, we've all been looking at that and, you know, and looking at the companies that are very high polluters when it comes to plastic. But how many of us are thinking about liquid plastic in our products? So synthetic polymers, or as I said, liquid plastics, are used in shampoos and conditioners to give a coating to the hair, and it creates that glossy shine we see in ads, right? So it's creating that look and feel that everybody aspires to. Not everybody, some of you may aspire to. So each time we wash our hair, they are obviously sent down the plug hole, right? Because you're putting them on and then you're washing them off, which then goes into the waterways. So what happens next? So this is the debate that we got into. So this is by Greenpeace Research Laboratories. The big question is, what happens to them once they are used and washed off into the sewers? And this is by David Santilla, who's a senior scientist at Greenpeace's Research Laboratories. He says, do they degrade as part of the organic matrix, or do they persist and maybe even clump together to form microplastics? Okay, so I don't think at this stage anybody really knows. We're going to talk to Tabitha about this as well. But we obviously diligently being journalists, and Katie Hill is the chief editor here, also my beloved wife, and will eventually be joining me on this podcast soon. So she wrote out to three of the leading top-selling UK shampoo brands, Tresemme, L'Oreal, the Procter & Gamble, I think, that do Head & Shoulders. So we asked them, okay, which of you are using synthetic polymers in their shampoos, whether they had conducted any research at a company level to ascertain the environmental fate and impact of these liquid plastics, and whether they had any plans to replace them in future formulations. So would you believe we only got a response back from Unilever, which actually doesn't surprise me because Unilever are really trying to be better. So they said the majority of polymeric ingredients used in Tresemme products are naturally derived, with a small number containing synthetic polymers. As part of our commitment to make all our formulations biodegradable by 2030. So we're in the process of removing solid polymers and replacing them with natural or biodegradable alternatives. Now, the other two didn't respond to us at all. So this is clearly something that if you are buying mainstream shampoos, do look for synthetic polymers. We're going to myth bust it now. We're going to be speaking to Tabitha, who is an absolute expert on this. So Tabitha, I'd love to now introduce you to the show. Thank you for joining us, because I know you've been a little bit unwell with that cough in the background. I appreciate you turning up for us today, so thank you. Welcome, 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 Tabitha.
Thank you so much. Thank you very much for having me. It's just amazing to be here. I love UK Health Radio and I love everything you're doing, Jarvis, as you know. So it's really brilliant to be able to spend an hour chatting with you. How great.
Oh, bless you. Well, I think we are like both big fans of each other. So mutual appreciation to you. Can I ask you, if you were going to introduce yourself to our listeners, what how would you describe, like, who is Tabitha James Crahn?
Well, I would say, I always say that I'm a hair geek. I've been, I'm now in my mid-50s and I've been doing hair since I was 16. So literally left school and went straight into the industry. So I've just been a huge fan of hairdressing. I love it as much today, really honestly, as I did on that first week when I didn't want to do it, but I just didn't know what else to do at that point. Spent my first week working as an apprentice and just fell in love. I just loved the work. I loved taking care of people and it was just a hit immediately.
So you were the person that was doing the hair washing and those lovely massages and the sweeping up of the hair and
exactly that. I did a proper apprenticeship which took about 3 years and then another couple of years sort of advanced education from that. So it actually takes about sort of, you know, between 4 and 7 years, depending on how far you go with your education, to be fully qualified and to be really, you know, good at what you do as a hairdresser.
Yeah, that's serious. That's kind of veterinary school qualifications, know. You know, that's beyond exactly. Like legal and bar exams and stuff. So amazing. I mean, I remember, you know, there's lots of kind of little kind of quotes about this, but apparently if you do 7 to 10 years of really focusing on something, that same skill, you know, or X amount of hours, whatever that amount of hours is, 10,000 hours or something, you become a master of it, like a severely experienced person. So you are like ascended mastering, you know, hairdressing quality. Tell me about the, you know, what was the transition point for you when you became conscious about, you know, the chemicals in products and became an organic kind of ambassador for hair? What happened there?
I had a chance conversation with a very savvy midwife back in 1999 when I was pregnant with my first child. And, you know, in the whole of my career to that point, I'd got my own salon at that point. I opened my first salon in 1993. So I'd already had my own business for 6 years at that point. I was educating with some of the leading brands in the world, an American brand, had sort of were forming a British team to be their sort of artistic creative team in the UK. And I was on that team. I'd just done a 6-week boot camp, found out I was pregnant. All the things started to feel different for me. And as I said, this chance conversation with a savvy midwife who said, "Well, you need to stop colouring your hair now that you're pregnant." And I was, you know, being really honest with myself, quite cocky, and thought I knew everything about what I was doing in my industry at that time. And I was like, no, don't. I've got this. I know, you know, this. When what hairdressers learn is that, you know, when you're pregnant, maybe your hormones are different. And therefore, if you put, you know, the color might not take in the natural way, it might do something different because your hormones are different while you're pregnant, things like that. Those are the sorts of things that we learn as hairdressers. But what nobody really talks about is the fact that, you know, this our scalp is basically an open orifice directly into our bloodstream. You know, every single hair on our head has a follicle, and the blood supply goes directly to that follicle. So it's different to the pores on all over your body. There's not a blood supply to every pore in the same way as there is to the follicle. So, you know, every single, that's a lot of open access to the bloodstream. And what she was saying is, you know, when you put the color on your head, it's on your scalp, that's going directly into your body, into your bloodstream, into your unborn child.
Wow.
And I was like, whoa, okay. Yeah. Hadn't thought about that. But that was an easy decision for me and my unborn child. But then my brain went, oh, but what about what I do every day in my work? I can't unknow that information. I can't consciously do the work I do without thinking that through, because that's big. I can't impact other people's health, you know, in my work. I love what I'm doing, but that just feels wrong. So I needed to relook at it.
Oh, wow. Wow. I mean, so if I'm understanding this correctly, and I totally get what you've said, but you on the understanding that you were just kind of like the color won't take so well in your hair because of your hormones and because you're pregnant, and totally aesthetic, which I suppose, without being disrespectful to the, you know, to the sector and to you as a hairdresser, I suppose having our hair done is quite aesthetic, really, isn't it? It's like,
absolutely,
you know, But actually, you got into the deeper cause and effect on the health and on the imbalances that it could possibly, or even toxification that can cause to the body. Wow, I want to get under the skin of this, if you'll excuse the term. So what did that drive you to? Because I remember when my wife Katie was pregnant. I mean, she literally went around the house and moved. And I, you know, I'm a bit OCD when it comes to cleaning stuff. So at the time we did have various products that just get, you know, really clean stuff properly, which you couldn't back then always do with natural products. She chucked them all out. It was like, you are not having these products in the house anymore. So how was it for you? What was the journey it took you on, and how did it all begin?
I mean, it literally changed everything for me, because I hadn't questioned that before. I then started to think wider. You know, obviously, you know, our skin is also another mouth. That's also something to think about. So what are we putting on our bodies everywhere? You know, all of these things, I think between 60 and 80% of what we put on ourselves externally will be absorbed. And there's a, you know, big proportion of that's going to go into the bloodstream, depending on where it is. So this just made me think, oh my goodness, you know, this stuff matters. We've really got to think about how we're working, how we, you know, what we're using and where it's going to go potentially. This was really early on my journey. I mean, obviously, as time went on, then I started to question, but also, where does it go next? You know, what also happens when we're in the shower and washing our bodies, washing these things off? We've got, you know, all this is washing away down the plug hole. Then where does it go? What's happening next? And also then, when I started to kind of get to a point, which we'll come to, I'm sure, in a bit, but, you know, about creating and thinking about product, it was then also, well, if we've got these ingredients, where are they coming from? And how is that, you know, so it really made me look behind all of the questions. And that was a big transformative moment for me in my life. I would describe it as a light bulb moment, but it was definitely one that I couldn't turn back from. And I'm so grateful actually to that midwife, because I did meet her about 5 years later, and I thanked her, like, you know, graciously. I was just so grateful for the fact that we had that conversation, because, oh my gosh, my career has been so much more interesting because of, you know, going down this road and discovering how I could help, and also working with so many other hairdressers then on how they can also change their practices and what does best practice look like as we work in salons and how can we do this differently.
Wow. It's really important for me to say, just because you are being incredibly humble. I mean, Tabitha not only is clearly a very high level hair designer, hairdresser, hair sculptor, whatever you describe yourself as, hair creative director, but you've got your own salon, you've got your own products, you've got, you know, they're all organic. So we're going to obviously talk about those. And nearly everybody I know now that has been introduced to you, either through, you know, Spirited Business Community or through My Green Pod, you know, they all come to you and tell me how amazing you are. So just to give you a moment to big you up. And, you know, I remember when we brought Herbie in to get his hair cut with you. And, like, honestly, you sat him down and you went, duh, 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 duh. And it was like, whoa, it was just the most perfect haircut in about a minute. It was just amazing. So you are genius. So thank you for that. So let's get back to you. So you suddenly went down, I guess, the rabbit hole, for want of a better term. You were looking at the toxicity that was going firstly into you, and then, hold on a minute, this is going into my clients. Hold on a minute. This is, I need to think about everything else I'm using that I'm putting on my skin. I'm sure you're already thinking about what you were putting in your body, i.e. eating. But then you started to discover the what we would today describe as the environmental impact, i.e. these products are being washed down the plug hole and then going into our rivers and our seas and et cetera, et cetera. So tell me about that. What did that stimulate for you?
Well, a lot of immediate guilt, actually. I felt dreadful. I need to really consider how do I stay as a hairdresser with this feeling that actually what we're doing is really, really polluting. And there was a moment where I thought, I have to walk away from this. I can't do this anymore. I'm being really honest, because I felt bad. But then I thought, no, this is wrong. I'm in this. I love this. I'm here for a reason in this work. So therefore, what can I do to influence how we work? And what could I do? You know, I know this stuff now. I care about this. So I can actually start to think about the rhythms and routines of what we do. And as I said, what does best practice look like in that regard? So I started to think about, you know, when it comes to colouring, for example, because that was the conversation I'd had with my midwife. You know, it's really tricky to have truly organic, and I might just pause there, because let me explain what organic means. That might be helpful.
Yeah, that would be good, actually, because most of us, I think about, you know, food and, you know, pesticides and stuff like that, or pesticide free, but GMO free. But yeah, go for it.
Exactly. In food, we know what it looks like, right? But when it comes to cosmetics, there are actually no regulations. There are no regulations as to what you can say. You know, somebody could put 2% of organic ingredients into a product, and it can then say organic product on the label with just 2%. Wow. I've come across in my work since I launched my product range, in the traveling that I've done in different countries, I've come across many brands that are doing this. And it's just shocking. Lots of people saying, no, I'm already using organic. And then I discover that there are just 2% in those products. It's, you know, and for me, like, it's
that,
a choice.
Would that, just one second, would that fit under the greenwashing 100%. Kind of label? Yeah.
100%. Okay. That's the worst kind of greenwashing for me. You know, if at the end of the day, as humans, we've got a choice. We could choose natural. We can choose cosmetic. When it comes to, you know, our personal care products, you know, and that covers, you know, hair care, body care, makeup, cosmetics, all of those types of products, we can choose cosmetic. We can choose natural. But if we're going to have natural, we should be getting natural. If that's the choice we're making, we should get what we want, so that at least as sort of fellow human citizens, if we're choosing to do something that feels good for us and good for the planet, then we should be getting what we're asking for. And you reference greenwashing. For me, this is a really big, bad grey area, because to be saying something's, you know, clean and green when it isn't is worse, really. It's not right. As how can we navigate improving the world if we're not clear on what we're getting? So this is where organic comes in for me, because when I looked out there into the world and I was starting to think, I just can't find what I'm looking for to do my work better. I was improving all the time. I was using less color when it came to color, just going back to that. I was able to find ways of designing hair colors that would last longer. So we used less product less often.
Yeah.
And we made designs that would last much longer. So rather than someone having to come back in 4 weeks and have their roots touched up with a tint, we were coloring in a different way so that it would maybe last 8, 9, 12, 16 weeks and go much, much longer. So therefore, the number of times in a year would be less, the amount of times it got washed. You know, that was a massive step. It still is with a lot of people. That's the sort of the journey we take people on in my salon. But when it came to then me identifying, well, what, you know, color happens, you know, periodically. Someone's going to do that every month, every couple of months, twice a year, once a year, whatever their routine is. But when it comes to the chemicals we use to take care of our hair, what I realized is actually it's the washing of our hair that is by far the worst thing that we're doing. And I started to understand what makes up a shampoo. That's when I understood, oh my goodness, this is the big baddie. For me, shampoo suddenly became the antichrist.
Okay. Because it was stripping out of the hair what needs to be in the hair in order to maintain a healthy hair and a healthy body, right?
Well, that's what you'd imagine. But no, it wasn't quite like that, because what I realized was, you know, shampoo by definition is designed to be a degreasant. Yeah. Its job is to remove the oil and remove any grease, remove all traces of oil. Mm-hmm. But whether that degreasant is made to clean an engine, so engine degreasant, or an industrial floor cleaner, or the base for shampoo, they are identical molecularly.
Oh my gosh, so it's the same degree to going into hair, floor, engine cleaning. I'm going to stop you there because we do have to stop for a commercial break. This is, you know, ideally, we're going to come straight back to this. So if you wouldn't mind, we'll just cut to a UK Health Radio commercial break. Tabitha, I'll see you back here in a minute.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck. Or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge. Upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
With Car Guru's Discover, you can skip the filters and describe what you're looking for in your own words. Simply type what you want, and Car Guru's Discover instantly surfaces real listings that match your exact needs. It's no wonder Car Guru's is the number one most visited car shopping site, according to SimilarWeb's estimated traffic data. Buy or sell your next car today with Car Guru's at cargurus.com. Go to cargurus.com to make sure your big deal is the best deal. That's cargurus.com. Cargurus.com.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Tabitha, welcome back. Welcome back. Gosh, that was a cliffhanger. we were talking about, you know, the degreasing product that strips out the oil from your hair is going into potentially into engine cleaners and floor cleaners and everything else. Come on, let's pick this up. Let's really understand what's going on.
So as I was saying, you know, by definition, shampoo is a degreasant. Degreasants we use in many areas of life. You know, commercially, they're used as engine degreasants, industrial floor cleaner, industrial strength cleaners that are used to clean, you know, factory floors and some places that get really dirty. But essentially,
well, these are serious products.
It's the same stuff that we're putting on our scalp.
Mm. Oh, my gosh.
Which made me think, oh, my gosh, yes, hair color is a problem, but so is shampoo. This is wrong. But this is something we've really got to think about. And I'm just going to take a step back before I go further with that. But because yeah. what I started to say was around the idea of, you know, what is organic? Why, you know, and this idea that if you want to choose a cosmetic problem, a cosmetic product to solve your problem with your hair, for example, that's your choice. If you want a natural product, then you really need to know that it is authentically natural. So an organic hair care product, for example, or an organic skincare product, which in my case is certified. And the reason I go for certification is to authenticate, to prove to anyone that buys this product that it really is organic, because you don't get to have that logo. You don't get to have that stamp if it really isn't. And that's so every single grown ingredient is certified by the Soil Association in my case, but there are other governing bodies that do that. Cosmos is a global governing body, and there's also there are many other. I've gone blank, Jarvis.
What's Soil Association.
What's the one that Walida used?
We'll come back to it. It'll come back to it.
Sorry, forgive me. That's so rude. I can't remember. So the certifying bodies will, I get a complete audit once a year where every single purchase that I make is verified and audited to ensure that literally they know where every ingredient's come from. We know every farm, it gets tracked back to the growing, to where, you know, that is a certified organic zone, as it were. They're certified to be able to grow and produce product. Then the processing, also my manufacturers are also audited and also have to literally, I'm going through this process with a new product at the moment, every single detail, no stone unturned. So it just means that no chemicals are involved in this process. So from the ground, growing, through to the processing and production, through to the finished product we're talking about, to get that stamp on the bottle, that's what it means. So any not grown ingredients are not organic, okay? And so on my authentically organic product, it might say 76% organic ingredients, for example. And this is where it can get really confusing. And then the greenwashing kind of aspect can get really confusing, because somebody might come along and say, make a product, and they might add 80% water into the product and then add some reconstituted aloe vera crystals that are organic, that then makes that 80% suddenly 80% organic. And in the 20% remaining, there might be a whole load of really nasty chemicals. Yeah, and then so, and that is still able to be called, you know, organic, but it wouldn't be certified as such because the certification bodies have a problem with that. But when it comes to, you know, being honest about what's in a product, some of the ingredients need to be carried with water because it's just the way the ingredients are made. So the water is pure, but it cannot be certified organic. So the only things that can be organic are the natural grown ingredients. So the numbering system is often very confusing, but if you've got the certification, then you can trust it because that's being verified. That's the point.
Yeah, that's amazing. Thank you for that clarity, because one of my questions that I actually hear is, okay, how do we identify? So what you're saying is that if it says on a bottle, if I've understood this correctly, you know, organic shampoo, blah, 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 and then it's not certified, that could be a very small percentage of something or some organic nature that's in it. But if it's certified, and you're talking about Cosmos, the Walida one is Natru, right?
Natru. Forgive me. Yeah. Thank you. That's great. Yes, Natru.
So what our listeners need to listen out for, shop for, is products that have the official certification by either Cosmos, Soil Association, Natru. I'm sure there were a few others. Is Eco Label?
I'd like to add, because there are some really amazing brands out there. It's expensive to be certified. You know, I've got a couple of products in my range that are not certified because I went through creating those products with my own kind of absolute sort of vigor and detail oriented sort of decision making that it was going to be as organic as I could possibly get it, or I wasn't going to do that. But that was before I became a certified brand. I was tiny then. You know, I'm still small, but I was really tiny then, and I didn't have the option. I couldn't afford to do it, frankly. Yeah. So I wasn't big enough to be able to go with the certification. And for me to reformulate those products would cost me, you know, too much money that I couldn't afford to do, hundreds of thousands of pounds to do that. So I can't go back and reformulate them yet. In due course, I will, because it will help to, you know, for clarity. So I'm not saying that every single brand that's not certified is bad. You really have to do your homework and ask the brands, you know, email them, ask them questions. If you're not sure, ask them, get them to give you clarity and help, and that they can satisfy your questions.
Well, let's turn it, let's kind of retro this a little bit. What are the things that we should absolutely be avoiding? What are the ingredients, rather? Not the brands, of course, or, you know, or the, you know, what are the ingredients that we can look on? Because presumably all the ingredients have to be listed, right?
Yeah, I've got some good lists on my website, so that's a great place to look.
So tell us your website.
So TabithaJamesCran.com, and Cran is spelled K-R-A-A-N, TabithaJamesCran.com.
Great. Okay, so there you go. So if you are worried about this, which clearly I think all of us should be, from a personal, from a family, do these things go in to children's products? But anyway, so you're going to TabithaJamesCran.com. You're going to have a look, and there's lots of information there of the things to avoid. I can tell you also, on mygreenpod.com, which is obviously where we put all of our news out, there's 4,500 articles there. If you put into the search engine, you know, hair care, liquid plastics, etc., you will find articles there as well, because we've done loads of research on it also, and all lots of other subjects. So shameless little plug there. Tabitha, are they putting these ingredients into children's products?
I don't feel an expert to be able to say that for sure. What you're looking out for are polymers, copolymers, anything with poly in it. You know, poly is plastic. There are many ingredients that are, the great thing you can do actually is, if you're not sure what an ingredient is, just Google it and you'll find lots of information. There are lots of websites out there outing these ingredients. And you know, this the Skin Deep database and is one great place to look, but lots and lots of organizations now that are being real clear. And you can also get apps as well, that where you can sort of zap the product and it'll tell you how much, you know, whether it's a sort of red, amber, green system often in these things, and it will identify for you whether the ingredients are good for you or not.
Yeah, this is one amazing thing that's happened in the time that you and I have been, well, you've been championing sustainability for possibly longer than we have. But the good news is now there is lots of resources available, but individuals do have to do the research, because as far as I can tell, we can't trust all of the big companies, because they have shareholders and bottom lines to think about and may not be doing things in the way that is perhaps the best way. So, you know, do your research. But you're absolutely right. There is a lot of resources available out there now. That's really fantastic. I know that we're gonna play one of a song that you have chosen. It's a song. I always ask people, can you give me a song or some music that you listen to that really helps you, or is perhaps a soundtrack to your life when it comes to the climate crisis and sustainability? Tell us the song that you've chosen, or the type of music that you've chosen, and we're going to play it, and then you can tell me how it makes you feel.
I love classical music when I need to just kind of, when I find life a bit overwhelming, when I worry too much about this stuff, which, you know, that comes to me regularly, then I will... I love the sound of classical music. I find just the intensity and the depth just reminds me of nature, really, and just how incredible Mother Nature is, just, you know, that this world, this planet we live on, and everything in it, at creation, is just phenomenal. And I believe, I have a lot of hope when I think about that, because the complexities of nature for me mean that, you know, it will be all right. The planet will be all right. Sadly, I think what we ought to be saying, really, rather than we're not really saving the planet, what we're trying to do here is save ourselves, without being too dark about it. But it is, you know, we need to learn how to live in harmony with this planet, don't we? So when I'm listening to music, the complexities of classical music just make me feel alive, joyful, and in touch with that that higher being, and just have hope, really, that, you know, nature will prevail and it will all be all right in the end. Beautiful. So my song, I love Debussy, and my song is Clair de Lune. This track just always makes me feel happy. And it's ironic that it was used by an airline once as well. But
we'll come back to that in a minute. So this is Clair de Lune by Debussy. And thank you, Tabitha. Gosh, what a stunningly beautiful piece of music. It makes my hairs stand up on end listening to such beauty and wonder. There's so many things I want to ask you, but how does it make you feel, Tabitha? What does that song do for you?
Yeah, I just feel the depth in it, and I feel deeply connected to nature when I hear that complexity. As I said, I think with all classical music, it does it for me, really. It just hits the spot. It speaks to my soul. Mm. And there's something just really powerful about that. I think sometimes, you know, for me, being in nature is the one way that I can just ground myself when I'm feeling overwhelmed, as a lot of us do these days. You know, just we feel like we're in a place where we're helpless and we can't really do enough to make the changes that we need. And we look around us and it looks like governments are not doing enough to make the changes that we need for this planet to be healthier and for things to move forward in a good way. And I think just stepping out into nature is just the best way, just to breathe real air, have your feet on the ground, and to feel, you know, to feel truly grounded. And that's not always possible in our busy lives. But for me, then listening to something like classical music or that song in particular, well, just brings me right back there. Right back to the breath.
Lovely. So I'm really, it's really beautiful that you've said that, because I wanted to ask you, you know, what do you do to, obviously going out in nature, what else does Tabitha do to, you know, rebalance, to reconnect, to, you know, get a better understanding of the world, to take time out, you know, hobbies? What are you?
Well, I love, I'm very privileged to be in a group with you, Jarvis, in a meditation group and an amazing spirited business group that, you're one of the people that taught me how to properly meditate. And before that, I really didn't, I got close in my work. My life, I love to be outside with animals. My real happy place is to be outside with my dogs or outside with my horses. And with, you know, my friends, my family, my partner, you know, all of that, obviously, just, but being outside and being with animals is just the most wonderful thing, to feel that connected. And, you know, to be able to get to a deep meditative place as well, just feel like you just kind of connect with that deeper truth, that deeper meaning, and to be in yourself, and feel fully connected with yourself. I always thank you for that. You really taught me how to really meditate properly. It's a real gift to know how to do that.
Well, that's very generous and kind of you, and I really appreciate it. Thank you. For anybody that's wondering what Spirited Business is, you can go to the jarvissmith.com website, and we do have events where we bring in people in business or leaders or anybody that really wants to understand how to reconnect with nature, and learn these tools and these skill sets that perhaps were completely normal to us before the very obvious man-made systems that have come into play. We're realizing they're not serving us, which is why we do this show. It's about leaning into clean. How do we get back to a cleaner lifestyle, healthy, connected, sacred, etc., etc.? Thank you for that. I always, always ask my guests about your children. You know, we are in probably No, probably. We are definitely in one of the most severe times that humanity has ever faced. Yeah. Not only are we in a climate crisis, and, you know, just today, there's you know, floods all around me. I'm up in North Yorkshire, all over the country. What do you say to your kids? And they're not young children anymore. But when you were studying this and you were working and knowing, you know, deeply about the impacts of consumerism, what did you used to say to your children? Did they ever ask you? Did you keep it away from them? Or did you share, you know, what was your messaging to your children?
What a wonderful question. Well, do you know, my eldest son, Felix, he's actually 24 today. So he's the one who was responsible for me being pregnant and having that conversation in the first place.
Happy birthday, Felix. He's now a DJ.
24
we
years
love you,
old
mate.
Today.
Big shout out.
I can't believe he's 24. It's crazy. Wow. But yeah, I have two sons, 24 and Sebastian, who's 20. And so growing up, I think I really involved them. It was just part of life in our home growing up that that they were aware of my I fed them organically as much as I could. I mean, you know, having a young family in this day and age, you know, 20 odd years ago was, you know, it was expensive then like it is now. And we all do our best with what we can afford to do at the time. And I think for me, I prioritize things like the vegetables and the base things that they were always going to need, you know, the milk, the things like that. I would just try and get as organic as, you know, and find organic things to feed them. And I would, you know, I was, you know, looking at sugar intake, all that kind of stuff, you know. So they very much had a childhood that was based around what, you know, being aware of what they're eating, being aware of what they're taking, and respecting that. I mean, of course, they became teenagers like every teenager and threw it all out the window and didn't want to know and wanted to go in the opposite direction because they could. And that was part of like being a teenager and rebelling. But I really consciously didn't push too much then. I really had this sense that remembering back to when I was a teenager, I was very blessed that my parents just loved to grow food. And I was the eldest of five and they grew everything at home. So I always say I sort of had an organic childhood, but before organic was a thing, it didn't need to be called organic then because it was just growing naturally. My dad would sort of talk to the old boys who'd got allotments and find out, you know, I'm growing this and I've got bugs on this. How do I get rid of that? Oh, grow this there instead as next to it, you know, and then these bugs will eat those bugs and you'll be fine. It'll get rid of the whatever the problem was on the tomato, for example.
Yeah.
You know, like biodynamic farming.
yeah, we kind know, of left away a bit, haven't we, with all this modern stuff, all these fertilizers and whatever else it might be.
Exactly, but just kind of using nature and, yeah, understanding some of those complexities. It's just fascinating stuff. But back to answering your question, I think, yeah, so I brought them up knowing that stuff. They definitely, as they became teenagers, went away. But I had a wonderful conversation about 6 months ago with my 24-year-old son. He said to me, Mum, you know what? I'm really grateful. I'm really grateful now because I really do, my body knows what good food is. And I love that now. I, you know, he's like, I really care about my body. I want to keep my body healthy. And he's kind of gone full circle and come back around. And it was, you know, whatever I did, it seemed to have worked. I don't know. I felt like I was getting it wrong for a really long time when they were teenagers because, you know, they were just being teenagers. But it's lovely that he's come back. And I definitely, that resonates with me that, you know, if you've eaten good food, your body, the cells in your body know what good food is. So I think for all children, it's just, even though they might not want it, it's really good to try and get as much clean and good food into them as you can.
Well, thank you for that, Tabitha. Thank you. I know that was a bit of a out the blue. It's interesting, isn't it? Because you talked about your change in, you know, motherhood and how it deeply, you know, kind of you pivoted in your life to become more sustainable. There's lots of research done that actually that's the biggest shift in people changing their habits is when they become pregnant. You can only, what fascinates me is you can only buy kind of, well, not only, but predominantly is when you go to buy children's baby food, it's nearly all organic. There's amazing brands, Ella's Kitchen and people like that. And yet you send them off to school and they're kind of going into school and suddenly getting like the worst food ever. And it really blows my mind how we're so conscious about them when they're babas. You know, we think of them as delicate beings. And then yet when they get a little bit older, we kind of, you know, let them kind of eat within reason whatever they want. I know that's subjective and I'm not saying that all parents do that. Of course, we don't all. But so thank you. I want to talk about what's going on for you now, but I'm just going to cut to a quick commercial break. So we're going to hear from UK Health Radio. I'll come back to you in a second, Tabitha.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit. Track budgets and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Finding a hoodie that lasts through the season can be tough. The American Giant Classic Full Zip Hoodie is made to last a lifetime, so you can count on it to bring you comfort and warmth year after year. The iconic Classic Full Zip Hoodie is the jacket that started it all for American Giant. Custom heavyweight fleece and side panels for mobility make it the best hoodie ever, and a double-lined hood and reinforced elbow patches mean this hoodie will last. Born from a commitment to support the communities that create its products. Every American Giant piece is made in America and designed to last. No exceptions. The result is durable clothing, like the premium Slub Crew Tee, no BS high-rise pant, and slim roughneck pant that become part of your life. Snag the hoodie that will bring you comfort for life. The American Giant Classic Full Zip. And save 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com when you use code STAPLE20 at checkout. That's American-Giant.com, code STAPLE20.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
So welcome back. I mean, this has been a fascinating show. Thank you so much. I've loved having you on. I really miss you, actually. We need to get to hang out more. What are your plans now? What does the foreseeable future look like for you personally, in business, for the brand? Tell me what's going on.
So I think I realized, you know, when I first started my salon and first went organic, I just was on this big mission that I need to share this news. I know this stuff now. I need to share it with as many people as possible. And I was working in my salon and realizing there was a limit to how many people one salon could reach. And I'm in the Cotswolds. I can't get, you know, people would travel from around the country to come, which was great, but I didn't get it out there as far as I would like. So then I thought, okay, I'll make some products, because that way, if I do it properly, I wasn't going to do it unless I could do it as good as what was out there, but, you know, even better from a clean point of view. So I was happy with that. It was a long journey. It cost us a lot of money, everything we had virtually, but we got there and we created this amazing product that I'm really proud of, because it is authentically clean. And then realized that, you know, actually this is, I want to get it out there into the world. And you know what, in the world today, it is so difficult to break in, you know, as a new brand, a new kid on the block. Even though we're 7 years in now, we're still, you know, we're micro compared to the colossal cosmetic brands that are out there. So to try and get a little piece of the market to get this message out there, to make it grow, is a really challenging thing. And we had difficulties because of, you know, Brexit changed a lot of things for us. We were selling a lot into Europe and that all became very, very difficult through Brexit. And we're starting to build it back, but it was very challenging. And the pandemic obviously also had a massive impact. A lot of good companies were really thrown sideways because we weren't big enough and strong enough to cope with that. So, you know, we've had to kind of come back again and rebuild. But also finding our route to market, for me in the brand now, what we're looking to do is really work with hairdressers. So I'm embarking on education really being the way forward, and educating other hairdressers. I want to share my knowledge. I want to share my experience with other people in the industry. And that's starting to happen. I'm working with amazing salons. I'm very, very excited to be working with the Gina Conway salon now in Wimbledon in London. We just launched really salons in the UK, and Gina is an incredible.
I know Gina. I used to go there for my haircut when we lived in Brighton.
Well, Gina's amazing. She's a phenomenal.
She is amazing.
She's a fellow warrior on this cause as well, and her team are amazing. And I just love so my products are in her salon. If you're in London, you want to experience the products, then they're in at the Gina Conway salon. It's fantastic. But education, and I sell my products in different countries in the world. So I'm doing education in the Netherlands. I'm doing education in Belgium. I'm starting to talk to some people in Australia. It's this really matters to get out, and I want to build an army of hairdressers that can start to think differently about the way they work.
Amazing.
Also, educating consumers, because, you know, I mean, I would love everyone to be using organic product, Jarvis, because that would make me very happy for people to be using organic product because of what we've talked about, a little bit of what we've talked about already, in that, you know, this idea of using something that's truly natural, that's not causing extra harm to us. You know, the difference, if I may, to just explain a little bit about that, the difference with using a natural product on our natural bodies and our natural hair, even if it's not natural, if it's been dyed or colored hair or whatever you've done to it, you know, we are still made from nature. So by using a natural product, a natural skincare, natural body products, it has a different effect on the way our body responds. So if we use some, like a degreaser that removes all traces of oil, our body says, hold on a minute, that oil is supposed to be there, and it pushes the oil back on the scalp, which means you have to wash your hair again sooner than maybe you would have had to. So you end up in a perpetual cycle of being almost addicted. Your body's addicted to the product once you start. This can also happen with skincare. It can happen with body care. So we can get ourselves stuck on cosmetic products that require us to use more and consume more. And for me, this is a problem. This is what needs to shift in the way we look after ourselves. And looking after ourselves with natural versus cosmetic is exactly this point. So if we want to consume less, use less packaging, have less carbon footprint because of, you know, where all this stuff's come from, what it was packaged in, how it was made, how it got to us, etc. And also then what happens to it next. So our responsibility for our waste. If we reduce the amount that we use of cosmetics, we're suddenly in a whole world of, you know, if all of us are doing this on scale, we're going to make a big difference. And this is our hair care. This is our beauty regimes. This is our skincare, body, everything.
Amazing, amazing, amazing. Tabitha, that's how to lean into clean. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. If there was one last leaving, just a few words that you'd like to say, what would it be? If I said to you, lean into clean, what does it mean to you?
Use less.
Use less.
Less is more.
You're not calling me useless, are you? You're saying useless.
No, use less.
Yeah,
reduce products and use less of them. Yeah.
Reduce, reuse, use less.
Absolutely.
Tabitha, it's been an absolute joy having you on the show. We could talk for hours, but we do only have an hour. And I'm coming to the end of the show now. We always end this show by playing the record that I made to raise money for Greta Thunberg's Fridays for Future Mapa, which is the most affected people and area. The track's called Save the World. It's a cover version by the Swedish House Mafia. It's yours truly singing the vocals. I've decided to, not decided, but I donate 100% of royalties that I get as the performing artist on the song to Greta Thunberg's Fridays for Futures. The track is called Save the World. Please download it, add it to your playlists, play it wherever you can, because every time it gets played, it will be racking up money to save money. Tabitha, thank you so much. It's been an absolute joy having you on the show. And we'll get you back on again in the foreseeable future so we can get some updates. So if you want to track down Tabitha, it's Tabitha James Kwan. K-R-A-A-N is how Kwan's spelled. I've just Googled it. It's very easy to find her. Buy into her products. Yes, they might cost a little bit more because they're organically certified, but remember, you wash your hair less. So actually, cost per wash is going to be less than you using those liquid polymer plastic things and you're washing your hair every day to try and keep on top of it. Tabitha, it's been a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me. Thank you.
Finding a hoodie that lasts through the season can be tough. The American Giant Classic Full Zip Hoodie is made to last a lifetime, so you can count on it year after year. The iconic Classic Full Zip Hoodie is the jacket that started it all for American Giant. Custom heavyweight fleece and side panels for mobility make it the best hoodie ever. Every American Giant piece is made in America and designed to last. No exceptions. The result is durable clothing, like the premium Slub Crew Tee, no BS high-rise pant and slim roughneck pant that become part of your life. Snag the hoodie that will bring you comfort for life. The American Giant Classic Full Zip. Save 20% off your first order at american-giant.com when you use staple 20 at checkout.
Finding a hoodie that lasts through the season can be tough. The American Giant Classic Full Zip hoodie is made to last year after year. Snag the hoodie that brings comfort for life. Save 20% off your first order at american-giant.com with code staple 20 at checkout.
Weight Watchers now offers access to affordable GLP-1s.
Weight Watchers has everything I need, from weight loss medications to nutrition support and help with my side effects.
With our program, our members are losing more weight with expert nutrition and side effect support.
Weight Watchers prescribing GLP-1 medications, it's been life-changing.
Better results, expert support, lose more weight, make it last. Get started today for as low as $25 at weightwatchers.com.